Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
My son experienced some runner's knee in the fall, and then his overcompensation of that led to some hip and glute pain. Our PT gave him a list of boring exercises to strengthen his glutes. Mm-hmm. I took one look at the list and realized that I've done this workout before. It is the Kim Kardashian butt workout.
Oh my God! Amazing. That's so funny. That's Google. Oh, I actually have to leave you on a little funny story that Doug told me yesterday. It really made me laugh. He was telling me about one of his colleagues in his job interview. The boss was interviewing him, and he was eating an egg and cress sandwich during the interview. And he broke off a bit, and he went, do you want some? And he had to, out of politeness, he wanted the job. He had to take this broken off bit of egg and cress sandwich and go, yeah, thank you. Carry on doing the interview, eating that little bit of egg and cress sandwich.
That's quite weird, isn't it?
It's really bizarre. Weird? I was wheezing when Doug was telling me about it.
Welcome to episode 191 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. Holly has been on a hen do and has managed to avoid going to park run, or in fact, run at all for a whole 5 days. And does she feel guilty? No, she does not. She explains why here, but it also leads us neatly onto how we're going to be fitting in our last long runs ahead of the New York half. We talk about my worries about my fitness dropping and where we both are if we look at average paces, which is supposed to cheer us up, but sort of doesn't. We also, in light of the above, have a chat about tapering and what we should be doing before our half marathon in New York with Sports Tours International. Now, if you don't already subscribe to Women's Running Magazine, we've got a pod squad offer for you lovely people. Hop along to womensrunning.co.uk/pod squad and you'll be able to get your mitts on women's running for just £3.50 an issue, saving 42% off the cover price. The subscription is totally risk-free and flexible. You don't need to sign up for years, so it's the perfect way to get loads more women's running fun times for pennies.
This episode is sponsored by Revive Active, and this is really exciting for us because...
Oh, yeah, okay, I know this. This is the lovely orangey stuff that Eilish McColgan drinks, right?
Yes. Eilish is about the best ambassador you can get, and frankly, anything she's taking, I'm going to take too.
I'm definitely getting on board with that. Tell us more.
Well, what Revive Active do brilliantly
is a range of supplement powders that you dissolve in water for a super tasty drink with the added benefits of a whole range of good things to nourish your body.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Zest Active, which is the veggie and vegan version. Firstly, it tastes of orange squash.
Oh, can I interrupt you there, Holm?
Oh, go on.
Well, now, Zest Active is available in two flavours. That lush, zesty orange, and now also delicious berry burst.
I had completely forgotten about that. Of course, I am totally a berry girl, not just an orange goddess. And I love the taste of the berry one as well.
And because we are firmly yin and yang, I'm going to stick just to the orangey one.
Okay, fair enough. I think that you're doing that on purpose just because I like the berry one. Anyway, can I go on?
Please do.
Okay, so firstly, it tastes of either, as Esther pointed out, lovely orange or delicious berries. Secondly, it perks me up after lunch. And thirdly, it's scientifically formulated with 25 active ingredients to support energy, brain and muscle function and the immune system, with 12 vitamins, 4 amino acids and soluble dietary fibre. Blimmin' eck, that's a lot of benefits. It's the easiest and tastiest way to top up your nutrients. And your nutrients. And you get a little zhuzh of energy when you do so.
And because where I am in life, and the less said about that, the better, let's not delve too deeply. The one I take on a daily basis is Joint Complex. But it's not just for joints. This has 10 active ingredients, including collagen, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid, supporting cartilage, bones, and muscle function. Perfect for aging crones like me, but also elite athletes like you.
And the very best news is that you can get 20% off the whole Revive Active range at reviveactive.com using the code RUN20, which you can use right up until the 30th of April. And that includes the new Berry Burst flavour, my favourite flavour.
So don't miss out, Pod Squad. If you like a supplement but can't be bothered to wang back a tablet, then this is for you. Use that code RUN20 before the end of April at reviveactive.com. We always knew we had something in common with Eilish McColgan.
Yeah, I think it's only a matter of time before the three of us are running buddies.
Kids haven't been out today and they're going a bit feral.
That's okay. Is it like having dogs, having kids?
You've
got to walk them otherwise.
Oh, but I think they have less knowledge than dogs. Dogs will go, I need to go out. And kids will go, I don't want to go out. I'm just going to be a pain in the ass until you do take me out. And then I'll come back in and be a much nicer person. But I don't know that. Dreadful people.
I don't think I've learned those lessons either. Speaking of, actually,
mm-hmm.
Well, we were going to save this for later in the pod.
Go on,
Em. I was going to come clean about the fact that on day of recording, mm-hmm. I've not run for 5 days. I know.
Holly
what
Taylor.
A slag and a slut and a harlot. I've not done any of it for 5 days.
Can you explain why?
Yeah, well, I am actually genuinely, that was why I just thought it, because I was like, you know what, I'm quite itchy now. I do think maybe I might go out after this if I can squeeze it in. Mm. But I was on a hen do over the weekend, which was so lovely. So I did a midweek run on the Wednesday before, but then mm-hmm. it was basically a full day thing, a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I could have done it on the Sunday and I had it penciled in, but I was absolutely fucking knackered. I cannot explain to you. I was walking around like a zombie. I could barely speak on Saturday night. So I thought, you know what, I haven't actually had enough sleep to feel like I'm in the best way to do this 10-mile run on Sunday. And I couldn't do it in the morning either because I had to meet my parents-in-law for some house stuff that we had to sort. So it would have had to have been a Sunday afternoon 10-mile after, like, honestly, 3 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep, maybe max on both Thursday and Friday night. So I was just like, I don't actually feel any guilt about it, you know? I knew I made the right choice all day.
Do you know what? Not only are you making the right choice because you're knackered and stuff, but I think you're much more prone to injury, aren't you? If you run when you're that tired and that kind of, I mean, essentially sort of a bit, you'll be dehydrated if there's been a bit of booze involved and all of that.
Oh,
kind of thing.
There was so much booze involved.
Do you know what I couldn't get enough of actually over the weekend was Baby Guinness. Have you tried them?
Baby Guinness? No.
Oh my God.
What's that?
They are shots that I believe are Kahlua, the coffee liqueur, and Baileys. And they sort of separate out so that the Baileys is on top, like the head of a Guinness and the Kahlua's underneath. Oh my God. It is just basically like drinking a little shot of cream. It's so good.
It gives me furry teeth just thinking about it.
Oh yeah. Oh, my teeth were incredibly furry. I don't think I ate a vegetable for about 3 days either. So I needed to get back in the swing of not being somebody who survives on Baileys and smiley faces and corn nugs and 3 hours of sleep before I was ready to go for it again. So you'll be pleased to know I had a very dull, but, you know, good, very good for me, little HelloFresh curry thing today for my lunch.
Nice.
I'm back in the saddle. I had my porridge this morning. Everything's a lot more normal again.
Well, okay, so let's talk about your training then. So you've had 5 days off.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm dragging us back into that is because I am conscious that in our last episode, I don't think we talked about running once. So
we didn't.
Start.
We were going to sort of pick up where we left off for this episode, but maybe we do that a little bit later and we do a bit of actual running chat. Should we have the running bit jingle?
Oh, let's do that.
The running bit.
Ooh, blast from the past, isn't it?
Blast from the past. My training is going fine. Oh, I tell you what, actually, it is going well. I can't remember because it was so long ago. But last Wednesday when I did my midweek run, I know this is not really what you're supposed to do, but I was treating it as a little bit of a tempo run. I wasn't doing intervals or anything actually on this particular one, but I was just like, trying to run it a bit faster. So I just did a 4 miler midweek last week and I actually got my 5k third best time as a result. Ooh. So I was like, I'm actually going to see if I can push myself a little bit. And not only did I do that though, but also I really enjoyed it and it felt quite comfortable. So
Ollie Taylor,
I know,
look at you.
It's actually vile. I'm becoming so sporty. Luckily, I not only did I skive off my 10 mile, but I also, there was a park run as part of the hen do. And I didn't even do that. I was like, oh, you go for it, girls. Oh, I might just, I've got really important tidying up of the Airbnb to do.
Oh my God. No, park run with a hangover. I don't know.
One of the girls who had stayed out with us did, because lots of them went back a bit earlier because they knew they really, really wanted to do this park run. I, having done it with you, was like, oh, knock yourselves out. Not super keen. So I decided I'd already basically, and I thought at that point I was going to have to do my 10 mile the next day and stuff. So I was like, I wasn't feeling super keen or super fussed about it. But one of the girls who did stay out until 3 a.m. with us and drink her weight as well in Baby Guinness and vodka lime sodas got up at 7:30 and went off to the park run with them.
And she didn't puke?
No, she didn't puke.
Jeez. Strength of character.
Strength of character. She did say that. She was like, I'm very good at forcing myself to get up and do something, whatever I've been doing the night before. She'd run a 10K really hungover the weekend before. So it's a home from home for her at the moment.
But okay, so that was the stuff that you didn't do. What was the stuff that you had apart from the fast one? How's your long runs? How have they been?
They've been fine. Have we talked about my gel stuff? I think a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. I can't remember now.
Well, I'm such a a convert to gels. I love it. I mainly love it because the fact that it, like you said, it does kill a mile.
Yeah.
Basically.
And are you able to run and eat the gel at the same time? Because I know some people would stop and take a gel and then carry
running. I've been running and having the gel at the same time. I used to, so there's no shame. But I didn't ever do gels because I didn't really understand them. But I definitely remember that back in the day when I first started training for my half marathon, for the Bath Half in 2020, I would run, like say I was doing 10 miles, I would run 5 miles to a shop where I would buy myself like a Lucozade or something like that, chug that back and then run the next 5 miles, which is quite nice, because obviously that breaks up your run a little bit and gives you a little bit of a walk break in between to do that. This is the first time I reckon I've done solid, because I've had the hydration and the fueling. I haven't needed to stop for a bottle of water or something. So I think this is the first time I've done solid all the way through running for some of these long runs. Obviously, I should be telling you all about how 10 miles was, but I'm going to have to hark back to the weekend before where I did 9. And that was very enjoyable. Have I talked about that on the pod where I met Doug?
I don't know.
I met Doug for a roast.
No, I don't think you have, because I think that in our last podcast, we were talking about other things, because we were talking about Alison Walker and stuff like that, weren't we? And Jasmine Paris. I don't think we talked about your 9 mile, but what I was interested to know was, because it has occurred to me that, because obviously I follow you on Instagram, we've talked about it. And so I know that you've done it, but I've got a sneaking suspicion that your training block this time has probably been like your most successful and like dedicated training block ever.
I would say so. Yeah. Maybe equivalent to the first time I ever did the Bath Half, because I was very anxious about it. But even then, I hadn't given myself as much time, so I didn't have as much to play with. And I don't think I ran longer than a 5K midweek ever for that.
No, the fact that you're just sort of, you're very nonchalantly mentioning the fact that you went for a 4 mile running run midweek is amazing.
It's not normally also my style, is it? But I have been really enjoying doing those.
That kind of thing. And also I believe is, like, if you've done 9 miles, did you run all the way?
I did.
I mean, whole.
I was quite proud, you know, Esther. And also, it wasn't all dead flat. Like, I did do there were some slightly challenging bits within that, which I felt really, really good. And I think that I've been quite pleased with my pace. It's been pretty solid. And and obviously fueling and hydrating and stuff. This is not something that I'm used to or that I've really done before. Yeah, I'm quite pleased. It's okay. It's all okay.
Amazing.
I really hope it doesn't come crashing down and the New York half is the worst day of my life.
But, like, you know, so the last half you did, was that Paris?
That was after Bath, wasn't it? Yeah. Then it must have been Paris this time last year.
So Paris, where you were quite undertrained because of various hiccups along the way.
Yeah.
Which meant that you were heading into that after not having really done a long run of any kind of significance. And I'm probably saying that quite mean. I don't mean to be mean about it, but certainly
I think it wasn't the longest I'd done, like 7 or something before that, when I was feeling really nervous about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you did the walk running thing with Kate, but this time you could potentially be just bashing the whole lot through and just running the whole way.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Which, like, I actually technically don't think that I've done before, because the first time I ever did the Bath Half, I had done no sort of preparation in terms of, like, thinking about pace or doing walk running or whatever. So I went out a bit too fast, and then I found the last mile very, very horrible, and I had to walk bits of it. It was like the not intentional Jeffing, where you're like, I'm gonna die, so I just have to walk, and then you're forced, and then you're like, no, I can do this, and then you make yourself run a bit more, and then you're like, absolutely not, I can't, and then you have to walk for a bit, and then you sort of go like that very painfully for the last, that was my last mile.
Yeah.
And then in 2022, when we did the Bath Half together just before Paris, I was quite trained for that, but probably not as well trained as for this, but I was pretty well trained for it. And I managed to run the whole thing, apart from, once again, it was at about mile 12, I really hit a wall, and I had to stop in that people's garden, and they had to give me water from their garden. But it's all okay, because I won't need to stop for water to do that, because I'll have my vest, which I discovered, for those of you who are taking on New York with us, and for your benefit, Esther, as well, I don't know if you've read this, but I had to actually sign up for my place last week, which was scary and exciting. And I read the rules, and a bit similarly to New York Marathon, you can't have a backpack or a hydration vest that's got like a big bladder in it. but you can have one that's got flasks.
Yeah, which, and for a half marathon, for a marathon, that is, it's still upsettingly a small amount.
Yeah,
I mean, enough to kind of cover the pinch points. But like when I was doing the New York marathon, I got through both of my, I put like electrolytes in both of the flasks at the front. And then I took on water when I got to water stations. And they, and in those races where they limit the kind of backpack that you can take with you, they do, they put on so much water stations, so many hydration stations. It's absolutely brilliant. But I was so kind of, you know how you like, you just get so worried about taking on any kind of fuel that's foreign to you. And so what, instead of Lucozade, they have Gatorade, which is kind of the same sort of thing, just a different color. But I was terrified of drinking it because I just thought, oh, no, no, no. But then equally, I was terrified of not having something. I was terrified of having just water because I knew that I'd be sweating buckets. And I just thought, if I just drink water, then I'm going to collapse in a coma. Like I need the salt because I get rid of so much salt. And so I did take some of that towards the end and it was absolutely fine. Absolutely
okay.
fine. But yeah, ooh, yeah, for a half marathon.
Do you think they'll have Gatorade at us?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I'm excited about that. It's just like Luke said, it's sort of like a concentrated sort of squash type thing.
Yeah, I think historically it's blue, which doesn't make you think of anything natural going on in it. But yeah, it's a...
Our US listeners are going to hear us saying this and they're going to be going...
They'll be like, oh, God, you idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. and I don't know. It's an electrolyte drink. They might have it, I'm not sure, but like when, so I usually put like Precision Hydration tablets in the kind of flask at the front, and you can carry up to a sort of a liter in the front if you've got those two 500 ml. Have you upweighted your flask? The last time we spoke you only had like one 300 ml.
No, I'm still living on my stupid one 300 mil. The reason is because before then I was like, oh, whatever, it's fine. Ha ha ha. It doesn't matter. But because I wasn't really using as much of it, I was like, I obviously just don't drink as much as everybody else because it's not become, it hadn't been a problem. For 9 miles, for the first time that, because it didn't become a problem, but it's going to be on the next one because I drank the whole thing in the 9 miles. I need to upgrade.
Yeah, I think you do need to upgrade, but I think you need to upgrade before your next long run, not
should
before
I order
the half.
Some flasks right now on on the pod, live on the pod,
live ordering. I love this. Yeah,
500 ml soft flasks.
Yeah, 500 ml soft flasks. Get them in.
Shall I get them from Harrier because
they'll fit?
They'll fit. Yeah.
Can do.
But then I'm like, shall I get a new hydration pack while I'm here? And it's all getting a bit expensive.
Just get the flasks for now.
Okay. Do you know how, I'm not slagging at Harrier off for this because it is great, but do you know how much they are for, it is for one 500 mil?
No, how much?
$12.99.
Mm. Well, I do think that Harrier still offers like incredibly good value. Like not necessarily maybe the soft flasks, but in terms of their running packs, like if you go to other brands, you're looking at 140, 150 quid for a running pack. And I think Harrier tends to be kind of around sort of 75 quid.
Yeah,
mark,
I think it's about that. It's not bad. Mm. Right, I'm going to order these now. How hilarious that I'm doing this on the pod. Sorry, everyone. This is so dull.
That's okay. Shall I fill in time by talking about my training?
Yeah, I'm not going to do this. I've set it up so that I'm ready to click checkout, but it's making me enter my card details and stuff, and I can't be doing that. I was actually going to also give a little shout out to one of our lovely Discord members. So this is for those of you who are part of our Patreon, which we highly recommend you do. I'm not going to lie, mainly just for the Discord. We're a bit shit at everything else that we're supposed to give you on there, but the Discord is well worth its weight in gold. And one of our lovely pod squatters on there mentioned that she has got a medium. She's also a curvier runner and she's got a medium in that Harrier vest and she loves it. So I think I have got one that's too big. So
a bit too big. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, tell me, rude. I've not asked. I've not said, and how are you? How is your training?
It's okay. It's kind of, it's been very, very up and down because of Easter holidays, because of a kind of the injury thing that I've been going to the physio for.
Oh yeah.
So I had a second physio appointment, and had more dry needling in my butt cheek, which again was not amazing. I must admit.
I just did a little shiver.
It wasn't nice, but it was kind of immediately quite miraculous. Like, so one of my issues on that kind of hip and kind of butt cheek is a sort of, it's kind of nerve pain. I didn't know if it was. I thought it was just the fact that I had really, really tight hamstrings. But he was making me, if you can imagine, sit on the end of the kind of, you know, the table that you sit, the physio table, like a bed. And I had to sit on the end of that and curve my spine round. So I had a round spine, and then slowly bring one leg out straight in front of me. And
ooh, while you're curved over like a little slump.
I'm sort of slightly, sort of slumped. And then you just bring each leg in front straight just to see what that feels like. And on my left side, it feels absolutely fine, but a bit tight on the hamstrings. On the right, I could almost feel it in my teeth. It was so painful. Oh, Holly's actually doing it now.
I'm trying it.
I can see us. <doing it. laughs>
I think so mine are all right, but that does sound nasty.
Yeah, well, it's okay, but I tell you, it really, really pointed out the discrepancy between like each butt cheek. So one is fine and one is kind of ugh. And after the dry needling, it was a much easier movement.
Really?
Kind of, all that pain completely went. Oh, so it does
not what I wanted to hear though.
It sort of unpicks a bit of nerve, so it kind of makes it more, I know, gruesome. and it also makes me, I can touch my toes afterwards where I couldn't before and things like that. Anyway,
well,
it's
definitely
really
sounds like a good thing to be doing then, but it does sound it's unpleasant. How often have you got to go and have it?
As much as, it's one of those things, because you're paying, right, I'm paying 60 quid for the privilege of having needles stuck in my ass, right? And yet, even though I'm the one that's paying for it, and you know, it's up to me, and I've done that, I feel as though I can't be the one that says, right, I've had enough now. I feel
yes,
like I have to wait.
Of course. So, I've had that with therapy before. You sort of feel like, I really don't want to carry on paying this person so much money when I feel like I've probably got what I'm going to get out of it, but I can't
therapized.
Be the... Yeah, it's the no, you hang up thing, isn't it? Where it's like, I can't be the one to do it.
I don't. And actually, the last time that I was having sessions at a physiotherapist, I ended up basically ghosting them. So we set an appointment for an appointment like the following week or something. And then I emailed because I couldn't even do the phoning. And I emailed him like the 2 days beforehand or something and said, really sorry, can't make this date. And then he replied to that saying, would you like to make another date? And then I just went, and went really quiet and then backed away and didn't speak to him ever again.
Oh my goodness. This episode should be called I Ghosted My Physiotherapist. I love. Well, I'm sorry for the physiotherapist, but I think I can't say that I wouldn't have done exactly the same in that situation.
But even though I'm the one that's paying for it and I feel completely unable, I've never used the physio I'm currently using, I've never used it before, but I still feel unable to be a grown up and say, no, that's it. This is costing me 60 quid a session. Can we just stop now, please? Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, so you're going to have to go and have needles stuck in your ass cheek for years.
Years.
Out of politeness. Oh dear.
Oh, so I've got one more booked in next week.
Okay.
And I just feel like,
and then is it the sort of thing,
the last one?
Yeah, I've and it's pricey for a painful old time. I think I was going to say as well, do you think that will sort of loosen up for a while, or is that something that you've got to keep going back and having needles stuck in every few months or something?
I think the needles are just a kind of a sort of a one-stop thing that you go and do that just as a kind of pain alleviation thing. But meanwhile, if you are diligently doing your tiny little exercises three times a day, which of course I'm not doing at all, I just keep on doing it. And just, even though I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to have to spend another 60 quid next week, I'm still not doing the stuff that he's told me to do in order to make that 60 quid worthwhile.
And
that's not true. I did them this morning because I was supposed to be doing a strength and conditioning thing this morning, and I couldn't be asked, so I just did this instead for like 4 minutes. And I'm supposed to be doing those kind of glute bridges and sort of clamshell things and stuff like that, which I just find intensely boring. And all it does, because I do them on my kitchen floor, is it makes me think, oh, I need to do the hoovering. That's essentially what happens, is I just look across at the floor and
do yoga as well. Look at all of this crap. What's this? I have exactly the same when I do yoga. It's awful.
Yeah, when I do my strength and conditioning, the body, the kind of the boot camp stuff, which I have on video occasionally, if I'm ever doing that, I'm forever in the bit where she goes, right, 15 seconds rest. I'm like, right, got to unload the dishwasher. Run off and start to.
I have been tempted, though I won't lie and make the most of my rests. Also, I was going to say, do you hoover after?
I did today.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I was going to say, I look around and go, I really must, but do I fuck? I never do.
No, I did today so that I wouldn't actually have to do the boot camp. So I just did, instead of doing 45 minutes of boot camp, I did 4 minutes of very, very lackluster glute bridges, and then I pushed the hoover around.
Hoovering. Nice.
Which in itself is some form of movement. So,
oh, definitely, definitely, it's not sedentary.
It's not sedentary, but like in terms of running still feels really weird. I'm still not in a happy place with it. I did a long run at the weekend. And I've done a couple of runs midweek. And so I'm back to doing a long run. So like, I can't even remember how many weeks ago it was that I did the Bath half, but I think it was 3 maybe.
It's coming up on a month now, isn't it?
Yeah. So so I didn't do a long run the week after that. And I didn't do a long run the week after that because of one thing or another. So I think this is my first long run since. And it was okay. But pretty much all the joy has fallen out of my running, and I cannot put my finger on it at all. I don't know what it is. Like, it's all quite painful. It's all hard work. It all, sometimes I'll be really mindful of pace and really ease back on pace.
Yeah.
And I'll come back and it will say tempo. So there's something, my heart rate is basically going like the clappers on short runs and on easy runs in ways that it never used to.
Is this all the time? This isn't just when you, because you know you've mentioned before that during your luteal phase, as we like to blame everything on this podcast.
I've got no fucking idea what phase I'm in. Right. No. To be fair, I am entering into, if we're going to say luteal phase is the code name for the bad stuff, the bad weeks, because we don't actually know what it is, do we? But
not really.
Yeah, I am definitely entering into luteal, but I am finding it all the time. So all running is all a struggle. Mm. So it's been, I had a good amount of time, a really good amount of time post bath half to rest and recuperate. So don't you go writing in and tell me I need to rest more, because I'm pretty sure. Be kind to yourself. I was kind to myself. I promise I was. Oh, but there was one thing I wanted to say, because I had an email this week from a lovely woman just on the glute exercises.
You need to rest.
Oh my God, she didn't say you need to rest, but you're going to love this. This specifically, you will love this email.
Oh, I'm
right?
excited.
I'll only read you a bit of it. So this is a listener called Susan, and she says, I just finished the episode where you discuss going to a physio for your hip and glute pain.
Lovely.
She's American. I know she's American because she calls herself Mom. I will preface this by saying that I have no medical background, so let's bear that in mind. I am just, she says, I am just the mum. I am the mum of a high school cross-country runner who also fancies herself a runner. My son experienced some runner's knee in the fall. Oh, that's the other. There we go. There's an indication, the fall. Runner's knee in the fall. And then his overcompensation of that led to some hip and glute pain. Our PT gave him a list of boring exercises to strengthen his glutes.
Mm-hmm.
I took one look at the list and realized that I've done this workout before. It is the Kim Kardashian butt workout.
Oh my God. Amazing. That's so funny.
That
That's incredible.
I know. So she sent the video. So I'm going to have a look at the video later on and see if it includes some of the moves that I've been told to do.
Oh, I love it. Time to do the Kim Kardashian butt workout, everyone, for science and for the good of our glutes.
That's hilarious. Imagine that physio is mortified that they've been caught out.
Yeah.
Actually, all he or she does is sit there just going, oh, that sounds really painful. Okay, I'll just Google's Kim Kardashian's butt workout. I'll just print this out for you. That's an excellent email. I love you all. I love everyone who listens to our podcast. What a silly world. What a silly hobby we have.
So, so that did make me laugh. But in the meantime, I think my running is really, really sluggish. I think there's been some psychosomatic stuff that I think I have. It was when I put up on Instagram that my running time for this Bath half was so much slower than the last one that I did 18 months ago. And wasn't perceptibly easier in so doing, right? So I was just like, why does it feel so hard? You know, is it my age? Is it something bigger than that? And I was just kind of, I was just wondering if there was something really badly wrong with me, aside from just getting older and more decrepit.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I don't know the answer to that. I assume it's the latter. Also, my training is very different, which is going to be the real reason.
Yeah.
Very different. So, like, before I did the Bath half in October 22. That was 2 weeks after running the London Marathon for the first time. And I trained my heart out for the London Marathon, that first one. So I was really well trained, and then I had a recovery period of like a week or so afterwards, and then went in and did the Bath half as a kind of stumble around one. And of course that felt easier than the Bath half I did recently, where I'm not marathon trained. So
sense. Of course, of course. Like you were, that was like a drop down week for you, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
I think it might have been.
It was 2 weeks. It was 2 weeks after.
Oh, it was 2 weeks after. Sorry. Yeah. I was counting wrong.
Yeah. It's the other way around. But it was definitely, you know, I'd done a little bit of recovery, and then I just did that. So I didn't train
We are still talking about, again, a little bit of a like reality check here. That we are still talking about insane distances at very decent paces. Like, this is not, you're still doing amazingly. You're doing amazing, sweetie, as Kris Jenner would say to you if you were Kim Kardashian doing your butt workout right now.
Oh, thanks, Kris. I think also it does help to kind of just edge out slightly of your own very, very tiny echo chambers. And I mean that for all of us a little bit. That when that in
is it just
in the context,
pace, do you think? Or is it also the fact that that you're finding it harder? What do you think analysing down is what makes you go, oh, I'm sad about that?
Yeah, it's the latter. It's how I feel. Because it means that the joy of has like goes because it's so hard that cardiovascularly it just feels really, really, really hard work. But all that said, if I just stop looking at the same kind of four Instagram accounts and actually go slightly wider than that, and particularly taking into account age and demographic and stuff like that. Like, I spoke to a friend who is a PT, who is younger than me, who mm-hmm. completed a marathon in about the same time that I completed a marathon very recently. And I was actually really shocked. I had to really try and check my face wasn't looking shocked.
Because
I just thought, oh, come on, like, everyone goes faster than me. And if you're going to be that level of fitness, of course, you're going to be whizzing around and blah, blah.
At the average pace, I believe. I looked this up the other day. But that isn't that, I would love to. I run slightly slower, I think. Let me just quickly find out. Sorry, I didn't want to offend you by saying that, but let me just double check.
No, that's right. It does remind me of, who did Adam Buxton have on his podcast? He said, aren't you like the 56th most popular podcast in the whole of the UK? It was like, 56th? That's rubbish.
Let me look this up. Obviously, average face, woman, age. Right. We're not, you're going to lose it when I tell you this.
Go on then.
Average, this is for the UK.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up. Sorry, loads of things keep appearing. Okay. So for your age group.
Hang on, is this for marathon or half marathon?
For marathon, you are pretty much bang on, and this is for men and women. Now, this isn't just for women. 4:39:27. So actually,
I'm a bit quicker than that, aren't I?
Yeah, you're a bit quicker than that.
By a minute.
Does it say women specifically here? The average pace for female marathon runners is 10:40 per mile.
Okay, yeah. And how quickly would they do that then?
They would do that in, I don't know, annoyingly, it doesn't say.
Does it not have a women specific?
No. It doesn't say, the average women's, is 4:36:06, but that's for all women, not just of your age category.
Oh, I want to know my age category.
Women for your age category. Sorry, I can tell you.
Oh, she's going to do it.
Oh, I don't think but I can. For some reason, I don't seem to be able to drill down to as deep as gender and age category. Like, I can tell you that for the 4:39:27 is people of your age category, but the
that's good, isn't it? Yeah,
I know. Yeah. So you're nailing life. Like, you're running at, like, that's not even specifically women. And we are, of course, famously weak and feeble. So I would say that you're doing very well. The conclusion of this piece that I found.
Yes.
Conclusion.
Indeed.
In conclusion, exploring average marathon pace statistics can provide valuable insights into the performance and expectations of runners in these races. Excellent. Data revealed that factors such as age, gender, experience, and course difficulty can all impact the average pace of marathon runners. I think they've broken new ground here.
I mean, that's journalism at its finest, isn't it?
It truly is. So, yeah, I'm sorry that for some reason it doesn't seem to be able to take you into the specific depth of woman of your age, but certainly, people of your age, you're doing very well for. Average women, you're also doing very well for. So I really think that you can go to bed tonight and go, I am a very average woman. I don't think I would be an average woman, and certainly not for my age. So I know that it can be easy to get bogged down in it, but I try not to worry about it too much because, if I looked at what the average woman of my age would be doing, I'd probably be. Do you want to know my age now?
Go on then.
So, presuming I might, if I was very lucky, be able to run a marathon in 5 hours. The average woman of my age is doing that in. The average person of my age is doing it in 4:27.
Well, there's not much between, though, is there?
No, actually, there's not. It really starts to ramp up when you get to 55 and over. That's when it really starts to ramp up.
I think average is so tricky, isn't it? Because obviously, to run a marathon, you have to be all levels of kind of fit, don't you? So you're going to have people that are just bishing that and doing it in 2.5 hours. And then trying to average that out with
that's
what you
very
want
true.
Is,
it's such a wide range of finishing times,
yeah,
isn't it?
It shouldn't be average. What you want is the mean time, don't you? That's kind of that would
the
be
Greenwich mean time. You do want the mean time. I could go on.
She could, but yeah. But
have they done that, or have they done it in mean? I don't know. I would love if there's any scientists out there who do marathon statistics and half marathon statistics. But I was quite surprised when I looked at, here we go. Sorry, this is, once again, here I am.
Oh, she's found something.
Average women pace running.
Yes. Yes.
It is. So the global average for women is 11 minutes 17 per mile, and that's all women. That's not a specific age category or specific location. That's just general women. And men is 10:02 globally.
Oh,
so personally, I would argue that we're nailing it for my long runs. That's what I sort of aim for. But for my shorter runs, I can do quite a bit faster than that.
Yeah.
So
we're doing all right, aren't we? I guess
we're doing fine. Just wherever you fall in that, whether it's, you know, more, less, you're doing absolutely fine. Because I was surprised when I looked at all of that stuff, how much the average really did feel like a very middle of the range thing. It was like, sometimes I think you expect, I think when you are a slower runner, you're like, well, everybody in the living world must be faster than me because I'm so, so, so slow. And so often, actually, I think you're comparing yourselves to people who it's just a little bit, you know, pointless comparing yourself to, because everybody is wildly different. And actually, you probably fall pretty smack bang in the middle of it all at the end of the day.
Yeah. True, true. Very, very true.
I've not really helped you there. I've just Googled a bunch of stuff. But I do feel very... like... Has it been helpful? Has it made you feel a bit more seen?
I think it does. I guess it's one of those ones where it's like, I know that I always bang on about the fact that pace isn't my thing. I'm not worried about going faster, but I guess the thing that's pulled me up short this time is the fact that I've gone what I feel like has been significantly slower with the same, if not more, effort to get round. And so I think it's that slightly, but I get on the flip side of that, the recovery time feels quite short, and I know that that's quite a nice indicator of health and stuff. So like the day after the Bath half, I didn't feel like I'd run a half marathon at all.
Maybe you're right, that maybe sometimes you need to reframe the indicator there, because that shows that you are an incredibly fit and healthy person. If you were worried that there was something wrong, you would absolutely not be bouncing back like that.
Yeah,
absolutely
it's true.
Not. Yeah.
It's true.
In fact, I think that's a much better indicator than if you'd found the run easy, you know?
I'm probably just overthinking, but that's what this podcast is for.
That's what we do. That's what we do professionally. But I think that you're doing really well. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
And I think that, I mean, this is going to sound really dull, but you know, people do talk about like when we did that brilliant, calling it brilliant, but it was a panel talk at the National Running Show with, we had a bunch of people on. We had like Jenny Faulkner and stuff, but we were also talking to Renee McGregor, who was very wise. And she talked about the fact that as you hit menopause, that you do have to, even though that's not necessarily what we should be recommending on this pod, it doesn't feel very in line with our brand. She was like, you will have to up your strength training in and lower your running a little bit.
Yes.
Because that's just your bones at this point, and you're more likely to hurt yourself or injure yourself if you're doing lots of running and not very much strength training in comparison. So boring. But do you wonder if that might partly be it, where like maybe, because you run 4 times a week, don't you?
maybe one of those runs should be another very dull series of exercises.
I think you might be absolutely right. And I guess it's the other one. It's you know, when you find stuff that works for you, like the whole movement thing, the best thing that you can do is the stuff that you enjoy. And I've noticed that the only thing that works for me is paying money to someone.
Yes.
And having a date in the diary. Mm-hmm. So boot camp is almost the only thing that works for me. If I say to myself, oh, I'm going to go to the gym on Tuesday lunchtime, I don't go.
No, I
don't. So the only thing that works is if I say, right, I'm going to pay my tenner, and then I'm going to, and I'm, that means I have to be there at 7:15 tomorrow morning, and then I'm there, you know, whatever. So
no, you're right. And you feel lovely after those.
Yeah, I do actually, particularly the ones that are, like, unfortunately, there's only one a week is in person, and those ones I definitely feel completely energized afterwards. Like, I know that I joke quite a lot about me being an introvert, and I am, but that doesn't mean that I don't like people. And going out in the morning at 9:15 on a Saturday and meeting a bunch of people, most of whom I have at least a kind of high and bi relationship with, and sometimes a bit more chatty than that, that fills my cup as much as doing the exercise. And
yeah,
I have good. Kind of 45 minutes of, like, you don't get a lot of conversation in there because you're kind of huffing and puffing over a kettlebell, but you can, you know, little chats can be, it's really nice before having to come home and, you know, clean the bathroom and do all that kind of shit. So it's just, I do find it mentally rewarding as well as physically rewarding. It's a nice thing to do. So. I tell you what though, Hol, I tell you what we need to talk about, because you mentioned it before we came on, and we need to talk about tapering, because you had a question about that, which is all to do with our training as well. And yeah, I don't think I've got the answers.
Do you mind? So I think that we both wanted to talk about this, because I just want to also make sure that we're leaving that on a note that you're feeling a bit reassured.
I do. Yeah. Just, no one likes to be called average, do they?
No, yeah. And I did just call you average. I'm really sorry. That for me is so reassuring, because I love to be normal, because I'm constantly like, I'm weird and I'm bad. You are far above average when it comes to your general running. But in terms of you worrying that you're doing things slower, you're not going outside the realms of what is very, very normal. Like, yeah.
Thank you. No, that is crap. Reassuring. It is reassuring.
Yeah.
But right, okay, taper.
Tapering. Well, so basically, I want to know what I can get away with. So originally I planned to have a 2-week taper for this half.
Yeah.
So I was going to, this weekend coming up, would have been my last long run before I had 2 weeks before. Taper kind of build up to the New York half, and I was maybe going to do like 5-6 miles or something as my long run the week before we went to New York, and generally just pare back a little bit on the distances. I think I'll probably still try and run a couple of times during the week, but like paring back on those distances and making them more like 2 miles, 3 miles or whatever in the week. But now that I skived off my 10 mile, I'm like, should I jump from 9 to 11, or should I try and squeeze that 10 in this weekend, do the 11 the week before the half, and then have like a week's taper, in the sense that I just do a couple of very gentle runs between the 11 and the day.
Well, oh my God, there's so much to talk about here, right?
So, aren't we so interesting?
Oh, I love it. But like, if I can first reference my old self, like as in my young self, like, so when I was first running half marathons when I was about 30, so older than you are now, the way I would train for them without reading any kind of information about them is to work from 1 or 2 miles up. So my long run would go on the Sunday, would go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So until the week before, I would do 12. And then the weekend of, I would do the 13.1, right? And that's how I would do it. So it just a gradual incline the whole way up. No taper whatsoever.
No taper.
Never heard of the word taper. Didn't know what it was. And that's what I did. Worked fine. So let's just put that out there. Not everyone
has to taper. No. Taper is something that's in our, well,
also,
in our
I
kind
don't
of vocabulary.
Think that we're doing like bonkers training. I think that there are some people out there who will be doing like multiple, like, what do you call them? I was going to say skills sessions a week, but yeah, when you're talking like tempo,
technical sessions,
like yeah, technical sessions, that's the one. There'll be people who'll be doing multiple of those a week. There'll be people who might be running four times a week to train for a half, which I don't do. I do three. And there are people who will be doing multiple strength training sessions. Like, I guess the general move of like cutting some of that stuff down is good because you don't want to be tired for the day.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think I can still probably have quite a restful week if I do 11 miles, say, on the Saturday, and then that gives me, or even the Friday, if you'll give me permission, I could do it in the afternoon or something.
Well, so I had two thoughts on that. And so, well, first of all, I just wanted to say, oh, this is what I did anyway, and it was fine, and my legs didn't fall off, and, you know, no one shot me. It was all good. So you can do that, absolutely. But I think everyone is now of the impression that a taper is useful of some and I think there's two things to that, because like I think most people, I remember speaking to Jordan from Cooper and she was like, putting in loads of mileage or loads of speed sessions up to a week before your race is going to do nothing. Good, absolutely nothing. The one thing that the 11 miler will do if you do it the weekend before is give you the confidence that you can finish it, but it won't necessarily help you finish it because your legs may still be tired from doing that 11 mile run.
Okay.
But what I thought, there was a quick Google I was doing just before we started recording, and generally speaking, a taper for a half marathon can be between 10 and 14 days. So
okay,
here you go. Here's an idea. I think you can either, fuck it, go and do an 11 mile on the Saturday, say, before the following weekend. Or you could do that 11 mile midweek and do it on like the Wednesday.
Okay, I think I might do that. So I even could do my 10 midweek this week.
Yes.
And then I'm still leaving a week between them.
Yes.
So like,
you've
say
not
I do
run
my
now
10
for 5 days. Tomorrow.
Yeah, I could do my 10 tomorrow. The only thing is that now everybody has to hear us having a slightly more business-like conversation. Esther is actually my boss, and I do have to say, can I run 10 miles tomorrow?
It's your job, yes.
I haven't got the day off. Can. But I haven't got much on tomorrow. That's not true. I could definitely go, though.
Do it. And you know what? You will love it. Because you've not run for 5 days, you will precisely feel the benefit of the taper.
Yeah.
Like, so you will have a really, really lovely run tomorrow. I think you should definitely do it. And then you can do an 11 next Wednesday. And then you can just fall head first into pasta and not do anything. Well, do a couple of runs. You know,
I do want to finish strong. My dad always used to say that about, I don't want to start copping out now and start going, maybe I just won't really do anything. Because I did that last time I trained for a half where I stopped at 10. I didn't fit the 11 in. It was fine. But obviously you are going in with one less long run under your belt. And I did really find it quite painful doing the last 3 miles. My dad always used to say at school when I would like, you know, when you're getting towards the end of term and you're starting to like be like, do I give a fuck anymore? He used to be like, finish strong, because you'll feel even proud of yourself when you do finish. And I feel like that would, when I'm in that pasta hole the 10 days before, that is going to feel really good. So, okay.
Exactly. And
I've decided I'm going to do it tomorrow. Well, I might try and do it sort of earlier in the morning. We've got a meeting, I don't know if you've seen, at 11 a.m. So I might try and do it before then.
Yeah, do. And don't worry about like work, because this is work, right? Running is work. So you should do it. But also, I mean, I think, it's really tricky for half marathon, because everyone bangs on about it for marathon, a taper, and everyone knows that it should be set in stone, and it's quite a kind of, it's a semi-religious experience of like, you know, doing your long run, and then you've got sort of 2, maybe even 3 weeks of
some
kind
of
joyously.
Some people do 3, don't they?
Yeah, I think I did do 3.
I think you did.
I did do 3.
How are you feeling about your half? What are you going to do for New York? Sorry if I interrupted your train of thought then.
I'm
professional broadcasting today. I'm tired.
I'm 50 years old. I don't have a train of thought. I have maybe like a coach of thought, or maybe just a small, like a Ford car of thought. Yeah, just something small. Anyway, it's all right. I did a long run at the weekend, and I still can't think of when was the Bath Half. I'm actually going to have to look at the calendar.
I think it was like the 16th of March or something. And if I've got that right, God, I'll be so pleased with myself.
Yeah, because you know I was always getting it wrong, wasn't I?
Yeah, it was the 17th.
Mm-hmm. So it's been 1, 2, 3, oh my God, 4 weeks.
Mm.
And the longest I did like a 10K, I think, the weekend before last.
Mm-hmm.
No, about 2 weeks ago. Oh, that was the problem. That, you know, yeah, so Dave was away for a weekend and that completely screwed things up. And
yes, blah, blah, blah. Anyway,
but yeah, I did a long run this week. I knew that I could only do one this weekend and one next weekend. But I was sort of thinking along your lines and thinking, oh, maybe I should do. And I was thinking, should I just do one of my like marathon training things where I do like 8, 10, 12, I think is what I've done before, for gallop up in 2 mile increments. But I think I will give myself a taper. So I've done a long run this weekend of 11. Next weekend I'll do 12, probably 12.1, just to make mm-hmm. myself feel really nice about it. And then the next weekend I'll do 6.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was going to say, you could also, if you were worrying about galloping into that 12, you could do what I'm doing and you could do it midweek as well.
Yes.
See how you go.
That's a really good point. It's a really good point. I do think that
we've really come up with a hack that everybody who works like, you know, in the week, not from home, is about to be like, I hate you both for.
Yeah.
But I do think it is going to be quite a game changer, that one, for me for the next couple of weeks then.
And you know what, actually it's not a bad shout. We're away this weekend and the running where we're going to be is not flat. It's really just hard.
So difficult sometimes when you've got plans over the weekends to be able to, like, I'd worked quite hard at being like, okay, if I do my long run at this particular time on Sunday, basically if I got up early enough to do it before then meeting Doug's family on Sunday morning, then I was going to be able to do my 10 mile. And it absolutely hadn't factored in for any of the fact that I was going to be exhausted after all of the other stuff that I'd done. Like, it's just, it's really, really difficult trying to jam a long run in to all sorts of other things.
Oh my God, it really is. It really is. The logistics of training is so hard.
Yeah.
I was just talking to, I think I can give this away on the pod now. This morning I was just talking to a guy from Notch.
Oh.
Which we've talked about on the pod before. So we're plans are afoot. But really, really nice guy. But he was talking about all the marathons he's trained for, but he was, of which there are like loads.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just talking about just the everything that you have to just put on hold for such a long time. And it's not just, even if you're following like a four month training plan, that's a third of the year.
Yeah.
But even if you're thinking about that, you're then thinking about, ahead of that, you're probably thinking about it for about a month beforehand. So maybe 5 months, maybe even 6 months, maybe even half a year of plotting and planning and adjusting and working things around it. And it just, your thinking space is huge. So I think it's absolutely no wonder that the day after you've done a marathon or a half marathon, you can feel like shit. Because you're just like, what is the point of life? Because suddenly you don't have the structure, you don't, there's so much to think about.
I'm a bit worried about that after New York.
Oh, don't worry, I've got plans for you.
Oh, good.
Never fear, it's all good.
Oh, I mean, is there anything else that you wanted to discuss today?
loads, but no. Should we push it to the next episode?
I was going to say, I know that you're under a bit of time pressure, it being Easter holidays and all.
Oh my God, guys, Easter holidays and the juggle of the children is just real. They are downstairs They're annoying Dave. Dave is also downstairs. Dave's annoying me. It's a vicious circle of annoying.
And yeah, Russian dolls of annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, which one am I though? I always think of myself as being the tiniest one, but I'm probably the biggest annoyance right at the top.
Oh, just
going,
no.
Eat your vegetables. Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoy.
What? Enjoy what? Yeah. Well, look, have a lovely long run tomorrow.
I will. I will have a lovely long run tomorrow. That'll be really nice.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, lovely.
I hope so, actually. I'm a bit scared. But you mustn't. Don't be. You mustn't do this, must you? This is the thing that psychs us all out. Now that I know it's tomorrow, I'm like, oh, well, that's what I'll dread then. That's what I'll worry about. Ridiculous.
Just think about the last one. Think about the last one. Think how amazing that was and how
the
you
last
felt afterwards.
One was not bad. I did feel a little grotty about halfway through, but other than that, it was fine. After the gel, I felt fine. And then I was meeting Doug for a roast, which was lovely. I'm not 100% sure that is as lovely as going to our team meeting afterwards, but
Not really. Are we meeting in person tomorrow or are we going to have to do it virtually?
No, don't worry. I think we're off the hook with that and it's virtual.
Phew. Okay. Well, that's good. So you can just eat cream eggs, can't you? While we're having the meeting.
That's true.
So that'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh, I'll think of the snacks that I'll be able to get. And nobody will be able to judge me for eating them in a meeting because I'll be like, I've just run 10 miles. Please.
Yeah.
Please. Don't talk to me like
no
that.
No judgment. No judgment about cream eggs. That doesn't occur here.
Oh, I eat like 3 cream eggs and on the track, on the,
Okay. Lost her words. Did I tell you that we had a listener that contacted me specifically? I think it was at the running show. Someone came up to me and grabbed my arm and said, did Holly find her cream egg?
Oh, I love you guys. I never found my cream egg. However, it was quickly forgotten because, I mean, not now that you mention it. Now I am still wondering, where is it? Is it out there somewhere? Who had it? But I am feeling, I was vindicated by the fact that Doug bought me, I texted him saying I'm really sad because I lost my cream egg. And he bought a pack on the way home of those ones where there are like different ones. So it had a normal cream egg, a white one, and a caramel in the box. So it was long forgotten because I got my white one, but I also had a caramel one too. So that was great. And then I felt very ill afterwards and I was like, I wonder why.
Must Google.
Oh, I actually have to leave you on a little funny story that Doug told me yesterday. It really made me laugh. He was telling me about one of his colleagues in his job interview. The boss was interviewing him and he was eating an egg and cress sandwich during the interview. And and he broke off a bit and he went, Do you want some? And he had to, out of politeness, he wanted the job. He had to take this broken off bit of egg and cress sandwich and go, yeah, thank you. And carry on doing the interview, eating that little bit of egg and cress sandwich.
That's quite weird, isn't it?
It's really bizarre. Weird? I was wheezing when Doug was telling me about it.
It's not anything that I've seen on any kind of, I don't know, like it's not on a TED talk anywhere,
it's
is it?
Not such a, I don't think any thought leaders have recommended it. No. But then Doug revealed to me that he was offered a cigarette in his interview with the same man. I think
it's the man.
It might be the man. He might be a bit mental. I think he is. Okay. He was like, oh, thank you. I think I'm okay. But...
Oh,
the egg and cress sandwich was really something else that made me laugh a lot.
I'd actually be offended if someone.
I know. I'd feel very sick if I'd already be nervous, and then someone rips off a hunk of their egg and cress sandwich and tries to give it to you. It just really made me laugh that was what he felt was like polite. But like, rather than just let the guy watch him eat an egg and cress sandwich, he thought, oh gosh, what am I doing?
Please.
I have this crusty corner. Oh. Anyway, I will let you go now, but I just, okay. I, as soon as Doug told me that last night, I was like, I mustn't forget to say that on the pod because that was really funny.
And if anyone is wanting to search up interview etiquette, then this is where to come. Yes. Really, isn't it?
Yes, of course. And I mean, you know, he got the job. So if somebody does offer you an egg and cress sandwich in your job interview,
eat it.
I would recommend eating it because it it could have cinched it there.
Maybe it was like a really kind of complicated way of just figuring out, you know, are they the right person for this community, this egg and cress kind of community? You've got to be able to eat the corner of sandwich.
Can he roll with the punches? Can he accept what's, you know, spontaneously offered to him?
Oh my God. I didn't do that to you, did I?
You didn't. But I do actually, do you remember I had a broken elbow when you interviewed me?
Yes, I do remember you had a broken elbow. Yeah,
I think I was in a sling when you interviewed me.
Yeah.
Oh God. Did I tell you that it was because I fell over on my way home from the pub at the time?
I'm pretty sure that you said it was a skiing accident or something. Really? Like that. Yeah, something sporty.
I must have lied. Yeah. It was after I'd
shark bite. It was some kind
it was a like... shark bite. Yeah. It was sticking out of the cage when I did my deep sea dive. Well, good luck to everybody.
Yep, for all your runs this week.
For all and, your runs.
We'll talk about something sensible next week. No, we won't.
We were literally planning on talking about something sensible next week, this week, and then we just haven't. So
I haven't at all. We'll do that next week instead.
Yeah. Okay. Have a lovely, all right, lovely next run.
Yes, you too.
I will.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way, you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.